War on drugs announced in the 20th century. The war on drugs much in doubt in the 21st century, not only because drugs change all the time and so does the population, but the scale of the benefits exceeds any imaginary number. And what is to be done? The U.S. has the DEA and a lot of money devoted to drug fighting, especially in the United States, the hard drugs handled by the cartels across the Mexican border. But I welcome Alison Federica of the Geopolitical Futures. She's an analyst writing about a new direction, not from the United States, but from Mexico City under AMLO, the very popular and powerful president, senior figure in the Americas world, and Gustavo Petro, the new president of Colombia. These men are looking to work together to solve some of the troubles with health first. Alison, a very good evening to you. What is the vision for Mexico City and Bogota about what is to be done? And I see that it's not more gunplay. Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. Their vision is basically a reaction to what's been going on for the past few years, which is we've done a security first approach. It hasn't worked. We still have a lot of cocaine issues and drug problems throughout the entire region with production, transportation, and exportation all across the world. And now what they want to try to do is what they consider the root cause, which is taking a social development approach, viewing the drug problem as a public health concern, and trying to address things like education, employment, income for all of the participants in the supply chain of cocaine production, such that you get them out of that field of work and develop these communities in a way that they have economic viability and livelihood, in a way that involves the government and state presence in these remote areas where right now the drug trafficking groups are the ones that are basically calling the shots and also acting as a pseudo government in terms of helping the public meet their needs.
The Global South is the construction you reference in your article, and it has been voiced elsewhere. Antonio Guterres, the general secretary at the recent meeting in Havana, used that term, the Global South. And the drug problem is not limited to the Global South, but it does seem to be a major production route. I'm trying to be generous here. Is that accurate to say the drugs are flowing from the South to the North where the prosperity buys the drugs?
That is very accurate when we're specifically talking about cocaine. And that's basically because as an agriculture product, it needs a particular type of climate to be grown. And that climate is limited to primarily South America. So when we're thinking of cocaine production, that's basically where you look in the world. And so it is very much a South America, Latin American issue in terms of production and fabrication and, again, export primarily to the U.S., who is still the world's largest consumer of cocaine. It's a little bit different for fentanyl because it is a synthetic drug, and that means it can be produced anywhere as long as you have the right chemicals and laboratories in place. And so you don't have that environmental restriction on fentanyl as you do with cocaine.
Well, these two states working together, I'm speaking in generalities. I associate Colombia with cocaine, and the increased production of cocaine has been tagged for several years, not just under Mr. Petro, but his predecessors as well. Fentanyl I associate with Mexico, with the precursors coming in from China, we're told, organized crime in China. And it's cooked in labs that can be as small as one person and then into the United States. So how are these two countries going to deal with what appears to be different crises? The fentanyl crisis of labs, the synthetics, and the fields of cocaine in Colombia and throughout the Andean chain.
Right. So the link between Colombia and Mexico on the drug front is that essentially the Mexican cartels control the entire supply chain for cocaine. They have all of the operations in Colombia under control. So if Colombia wants to address their drug problem, they have to work with Mexico. Mexico, of course, has to deal with both the cocaine transit and the fentanyl production issue. But essentially, the idea of having it come as a public health issue or a social development issue, those solutions would be equally applicable to the different participants in that you would be offering them another type of economic activity, a different avenue for a livelihood that would get them away from the illicit activities that they're participating in now.
You have a graphic accompanying your article at Geopolitical Futures about cocaine seizures in the Western Hemisphere. Clearly, the pandemic seems to have accelerated this pace. So we come now to the U.S. that is leading a deal of the money that flows into law enforcement. Does the Biden administration consider the war on drugs a failure? Does it have an opinion?
So with the seizure in drugs, in part, it's because of the growing demand and also the growing supply. As you mentioned earlier, supply has boomed with cocaine over the past few years. And so we're seeing enormous flows. The Biden administration, the U.S. general public, you will find people in the U.S. public that consider the war on drugs a failed issue in that you still have a lot of drug use in the United States, and you have a lot of fatalities, particularly with fentanyl-related drugs in the United States. And I think that is one of the reasons why Mexico and Colombia have started to channel this idea of public health as the focal point, because that's something that should be relatable for many people in the United States, just as much as it is for people in Colombia and Mexico.
All right. So what does it look like? I understand health and the drug use is the stories of the drug use are dominated by North America, not by South America, but I can imagine that these neighborhoods are ripped apart. For example, there are tens of thousands of young people in El Salvador now detained, accused of being part of the drug cartels, the drug running and human trafficking cartels. So is that the damage that AMLO and Petro are planning to reverse? Not the jailing or the brutality or the raids, but in fact taking this as a public health crisis into the places where the gangsters come from?
So when they talk about public health, they talk about public health as the focal point. No one has any plans to completely eliminate rule of law in terms of, say, arresting people that participate in illicit activities. When it comes to the focal point, however, the idea is, how can these people make money? Right now, there's been talk about alternative crops for years, and it all comes down to a question of economics, which is, what activities can people do, both in terms of how much they'll make, what is the best option for them, and also what education or skill sets are needed for them to be able to participate in those economic activities. And so when they're targeting that, what they're trying to do is a social development approach to areas that are typically outside of the normal scope of the state in terms of access to resources, be it basic sanitation or transportation or education, and trying to find ways to develop them so that they can participate more in the formal economy rather than the illicit one.
Ah, that's the agricultural market that mm-hmm. can be opened for the farmers who are now cocaine. That isn't speaking to fentanyl. I understand these are different worlds. The cocaine associated with Bogota, Colombia, you report, is the strongest partner the U.S. has in South America. Is Gustavo Petro open to working with the U.S. government? There's been some tension.
There has been a lot of tension. Right now, because of where Colombia is situated, it needs to work with the United States. The tension is around the fact that what Colombia needs and the U.S. strategy for addressing some of its own needs are diverging. So one of the major issues is, for example, Venezuela. It is a huge migration problem for Colombia. And their solution is take sanctions off of Venezuela. We don't have migrants coming in. This will make our lives better. And obviously, Washington wants to keep sanctions on relatively in place until they have some more guarantees coming out of what the future of Venezuela would look like. And similarly with the question of drugs, Colombia wants money to come in and regulations lifted to help create opportunities for these rural communities. They still want to have U.S. investment. They still want to have U.S. cooperation. But what they're looking for is something a little bit more on their terms and a strategy that will address their domestic concerns, more so than just going along with whatever strategy Washington wants to pursue.
And the same for Mexico. We have 30 seconds. Mexico also wants cooperation about fentanyl.
Yes. Ultimately, the U.S. is the main consumer. And as long as there is a demand, it's going to be difficult to address the supply side of things. Mexico and Colombia can easily address the supply side in terms of who they target. They have a much harder time targeting the demand side because those people are in Europe and the United States.
Alison Fedorka, analyst for Geopolitical Futures, is a subscription site I recommend. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.